Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Dino having a well-earned break this weekend. Dan Malecki in the chair with Brendan Delaney. Firstly, good morning to you, Brendan.
Good morning, Warren.
How'd you enjoy the races yesterday?
It was a good day's racing, entertaining day's racing, but it sort of just hits home, doesn't it, how much the horses mean to people with the unfortunate incident with Steel Prince, and just watching Sam Friedman's interview there on racing.com with Nigel Carmody, how much the people behind the scenes, these horses, they get quite attached to them, and it's sad when we see something happen like Steel Prince, but you know, that's something I think needs to be advertised more in the industry, how much these horses really mean to these people behind the scenes doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah, Sam Friedman, very emotional, really struggling to hold it together with Nigel yesterday. Fortunately, for an overlap with connections, Just Benjamin ran nicely later on in the day to run fourth. But yeah, the tragic loss of Steel Prince, and you know, suffering a heart attack early in the race. Fortunately, Nashrawilla was okay. There were some great stories yesterday. T.O. Nugent outriding his claim. Michael Walker back with the Metropolitan winner. So I welcome Dan Malecki in, but balanced with the sadness and the tragedy of that incident at Eagle Farm, Dan.
Yes, that's right, Warren. Good morning to you and Brendan and to all of our listeners. There was some fantastic racing at Eagle Farm. It's amazing to think with the weather that they've had, we were dealing with a good three later in the day, and some of the horses possibly jarring up to be used as excuses. It's almost unfathomable, isn't it? But the racing there was terrific on one of their big days. Caulfield was good. Well, was out a lot made of that. It was some genuine racing, I thought, particularly the sprint races. Five of the first six races were run from the sprint shoots up to the 1,200 metres. Very challenging day, though. I think you needed to have long pockets and the ability to go wide and a lot of your exotic plays, because it was there were tough race meetings right across Australia and a lot of big results.
Let's kick off with the Caulfield program. We'll have a look at the feature races, the Group 1s in particular, and touch on a few other races at Eagle Farm later on. Back to the top of the day at Caulfield, T.O. Nugent been trying to outride his claim. He had one to go going into the meeting yesterday.
450 metres to go. It's Young Liam, three quarters of a length in front, fills up the lungs with Starry Legend getting closer. They were followed by Ashford Street, who's on their heels, only two off the pace, and then came Tycoon Hummer. 200 to go. Young Liam tries to kick again. Starry Legend, Ashford Street makes a line of three, then Tycoon Hummer. Ashford Street takes the lead. 100 metres to go for T.O. Nugent to outride his claim. They're roaring at the bull, and Ashford Street won it well from Starry Legend, Tycoon Hummer.
And fitting that it was on a Warrnambool trained horse. Brendan, your thoughts here?
Good speed. We knew Starry Legend, Young Liam were going to rip along at a good gallop, and they did that, and that provided the perfect scenario for Ashford Street just to lob him behind. T.O. didn't need to rush him. He rode the patient race knowing that the front two were always going to come back at some stage. Starry Legend tried to kick, but as soon as he tried to kick, there wasn't much there in the locker, and Ashford Street was a horse on the scene with close enough to strike with the fresh legs, and he was super late. He hasn't seen that sort of way for a long, long time, if he's ever seen it at all. And well done to T.O. A real feather in the cap to not only outride your provincial claim, but then bring it to town and knock that over as well. Tycoon Hummer, thought she chased well enough there in second. She made a little bit of ground. Young Liam got tired, as you would expect. Zorro's Dream, I was keen on him. Probably got a little bit too far back. He didn't look overly comfortable there yesterday. Wasn't a good day for Dexalation. He was conceding a lot of weight. And William Thomas, I'm not sure where he is at this stage of his career. But well done to T.O. He was able to get into a real sweet spot there yesterday on Ashford Street and be too strong at the end. A
couple of notes from the stewards report, Dan. Zorro's Dream slow to begin, laid out, ran in the home turn. Brendan outlining that it just didn't look that comfortable yesterday. And Alana Kelly could offer no explanation for the performance of Dexalation, who failed to run on in the straight. And that's certainly atypical of what happens when Richard and Chantel Jolly bring horses across from South Australia. Just a blip on the radar for Dexalation yesterday.
Yeah, look, it was, but he was a massive drifter, wasn't he? The sort of writing was on the wall. It's amazing how sometimes it almost goes in sync, that sort of stuff. But Look, Ashford Street is a bit of an unsung hero in a way. He's never won at 1,200. He'd only ever won at 1,100 before yesterday, but that was genuine pace, wasn't it, for a 1,000-metre race. Young Liam went very quickly early to try to get a clear lead ahead of Starry Legend. Starry Legend, well, sometimes he's his own worst enemy. He was good. He gets keen. Even when they're going hard, he still wants to go harder, and he was found out. But Ashford Street just had that sweet run with the drop in weight. So he was terrific. And, look, he's still only lightly raced Ashford Street, and that was his first city win. He's got close a couple of times, and you get the feeling now that he's broken into that top-end, higher rating. It was a benchmark 100, but effectively an open handicap. We'll see him in town far more often, but he seems to go well in those races at 1,100. Look, he'll strengthen up, and he'll probably get to the 1,200. He's almost won at 1,200 a couple of times. But I think at about the 500, if you had to stop the race, pick a horse he wanted to be on, it was him. And well done to Tio as well. It's a major milestone for any apprentice to be able to outride their claim. And Starry Legend, he'll probably go around and be a winning chance again next time. Tycoon Hummer suited by that tempo, loomed and was solid. Young Liam's Young Liam. He can go quick, can't he? Sorry's Dream wanted to hang out around the turn. And look, as Brendan said, William Thomas, don't know where he's at. I was sort of half making excuses for his previous couple, but I can't on yesterday's run.
Ashford Street, T.O. Nugent combining in race one, and a significant day for T.O. gets rid of that 1.5 metropolitan claim. Something he'd been striving for a while. He's had some time on the sidelines with injuries and the like, but as you were saying, Brendan, just he'll be very proud to now be a non-claiming apprentice, and now it's up to him to forge his career as a senior rider, or as a rider without the claim, as he then makes the transition to a senior rider.
Yeah, most definitely. It's something that all apprentices strive for, and not too many can achieve. Excuse me, but yeah, well done to T.O. He's been at it for a long time to try and knock it off, and he's finally achieved it. So a great effort.
Danny O'Brien saddled up a debutant in race two at Caulfield yesterday. Impressive winner, Atlantis Tycoon.
Be stoked up, followed by Nothing Silly, Sutardamu losing ground, followed by Atlantis Tycoon, and well out the back, McKeon in the running, 250 to go, Cosmic Aura with Atlantic Ocean the outside. They were followed back behind them by Shaleod getting off the fence, and right down the outside, Atlantis Tycoon, 100 metres to go, Atlantis Tycoon drops on them, goes to the front, Shaleod trying to go with it, but Atlantis Tycoon has won it by a half length, Shaleod, third Atlantic Ocean, and then...
Bit to unpack here from the stewards report before I get your take, Dan. Proud Conquest bounded it as the start was affected. He's pulled up with a slow recovery, and well, McKeon began awkwardly, knuckled, and then she really just didn't participate in the race, and she'll have to head back to the jump outs to the stewards' satisfaction before the filly that was on debut for the Peter Moody stable can race again. How do you see the race?
I was really impressed with the winner. That was some sort of a win. He jumped pretty well, Atlantis Tycoon. And Damien Thornton spent the next few hundred metres trying to restrain the horse after jumping so well. So for 400 to 500 metres, the horse was being snagged back. And then he just got into a beautiful rhythm. The way he tracked up behind them, turning for home, if you were prepared to look beyond the leaders to see how well he was travelling, it's not a surprise to see him let down. He bullocks into the clear. That was an impressive performance. It sort of scratches your head as to a horse that could win that well could start at such long odds. He looked green and ran his jump outs in patches at times, but I think he's a serious horse. The way he made that ground, he's clearly got a long stride, and he covers the ground so well, and he looks like he'll eat up even a little bit further, 1,400. And the way he actually jumped, he can sit closer on speed, so there's a lot to like about his performance. He might have got under the guard of punters at $33, but I don't think he will in the future. Shalale, good solid run. The run had come earlier. He might have been able to open up a bit of a break. I still think the way the winner sailed past him, the result may well have been the same, but he's a very consistent horse. The third horse I like too, Atlantic Ocean. He hasn't got that pickup sprint, but I think at 14 or maybe even slightly further, he can sit up closer to the tempo. And while he won't have that brilliant acceleration, that extra trip is going to suit him. So he continues to improve. You can make a case that Nothing Silly could have finished a little bit closer. Cosmic Aura was okay up on speed. Magnus Spin. You know, there were moments there where he looked slightly held up. I think overall disappointing. Jamara might have come to the end of its prep. McKeown was slow out in the jump out too. It missed it and then speared through late. But clearly she's got ability. We have to forgive and proud conquest. His first up win was too good to dismiss. But clearly yesterday he, as you pointed out, Warren, was... may have had some excuses, and Sudadamu, the debutante, maybe just out of its depth first up, but often you can forgive. So I didn't think it was a bad race, but the winner, he looks a horse that's going to be better than Winter City Grade, that's for sure.
What did you make of this race, Brendan?
Solid effort when we were debating whether or not horses were going to be able to make ground with the rail out so far. He put that to bed early on in the meeting. Terrific effort. I think probably a nice way to ride him. Looks a solid, long-striding sort of fellow, and Damien Thornton give him a lovely, patient ride to be able to close off. Tremendous effort to do that on De Boer, off a nice rolling speed. Shalaled, Ollie would have liked some clear air a little bit earlier. While the winner was out building momentum, he was left marking time there just for a couple of strides. And, you know, the half-length margin on the line might have been a little bit telling of that, but still the winner was very good. Atlantic Ocean battled on well after racing in the breeze. Nothing Silly finds the line again, a couple of lengths off the first few across the line. Magnus Spin probably was under pressure a little bit on the turn, and then probably nursed to the end of the line by Michael Walker. As Dan touched on, Jamara might be the end of what's been a pretty long prep, and the two that didn't race to expectations, McKeown going to have to be very forgiving of that. There, you know, there might be something that comes out from the vet in the next couple of days for her and Proud Conquest. He just didn't look happy in the gates. When he went to Donald, I seen him there that day. He was cool and looked the real professional, but he just might have come to the end of it there yesterday, even pre-race. He had a man up with him in the gates. He bunny hopped out and then resented being restrained. So just an off day for him and maybe to the paddock, but he'll come back and win races, that's for sure. But the winner was very good to make a long circling run like that, rail at 11.
Race 3 saw Craig Newitt hop on Harry with a late call-up. Jordan Childs unavailable to make the weight. Horse had been chasing Elation at his last couple.
Further back, Oceana Blue, who's got a ride home as they quicken around the turn from Naval Seal, held up. Then came Blazero Chartres. Deprivation in the running, joined by General Firepower. 200 metres to go. Oceana Blue about a length and a half away, and then Hop on Harry, Naval Seal, Blazero. General Firepower's got plenty of company. Hop on Harry driving at it, and Oceana Blue's lifting. Hop on Harry from Oceana Blue. They go to the line. Hop on Harry. Hop on Harry's won it from Oceana Blue, Naval Seal.
I think there might be some reasonable form to come out of this race, some quite progressive horses to my eye. Brendan, how do you see it?
Yeah, most definitely. First three, first four, maybe an Oriental Legend. He was another one that didn't have a great deal of luck there yesterday. They're going to be horses that you'd like to see next time out with maybe a little bit riding on them. But I thought this might have been the end of the day at one stage. Hop on Harry. We might have been hanging our hats on him, Warren. But he got the sort of run that I thought he could get, just in behind the speed. I didn't think he'd be jammed in on the fence like he was. But when the gap opened, he really quickened down nicely, and Froggy gave him no option but to really drive through the gap. He was all over him, but it was a good ride, and the horse really responded to it. Oceana Blue got a lot closer than she did first up. She was there with her chance, probably just maybe outdashed a little bit at the back end. Naval Seal has run well again off that good effort at Ballarat, where he rode the speed. He was a little bit slow out there yesterday and went back and probably was following the favourite into the race without a great deal of momentum. He can bounce off that. General Firepower run well enough again, an Oriental Legend for a big horse. He got squeezed out early at the start. He was three back the fence. He was always in traffic from about the 600 to about the 300, and then again late on in the race. He might be one to follow heading to Sandown over a mile in a couple of weeks, but it was a solid effort by Hop on Harry. He had the runs on the board form-wise, and Froggy drove him through and gave him no option but to win.
Couple of notes from the stewards report, Dan, with Oriental Engine. He knuckled on jumping away, a bit similar to what we saw from McKeown in the previous, and then held up between the 400 and the 200, as Brendan's outlined. Your overall take on the race?
Yeah, look, I think it was a pretty strong race. It looked that way, I think, prior, and we had form lines coming from all over the place, but the South Australian form, it's of no surprise, it stood up Getting that lovely run was a key. When General Firepower just sort of laid in across Hop on Harry, it was almost as if the run wasn't going to come. But Craig just, he sort of bided his time while he was winding the horse up and strong to the line. It's still got a lot of time for Oceana Blue. I think there's a good career for Oceana Blue. She seemed to make the ground pretty quickly coming up to the home turn or the... the filly, and then she took about 100 metres to just seemingly balance up in the straight and then was strong again on the line. I can see her progressing. Naval Seal was good. He threaded his way through the field. General Firepower is clearly going a bit better with the blinkers on. I know you touched on Oriental Legend. Still trying to work him out whether he's a good horse or not, because I've seen him in front before. I've seen him from the back of the field before, and there's still a lot to like about him, but there's also a lot that you can pick apart with him. Chartres had to come the widest on the turn, still finished it off. Blazero didn't finish it off. He loomed to the turn. He probably had to get going a little bit too early and maybe have to forgive. Deprivation might have settled better with the blinkers off, but still was overrun and maybe just short of that level. Kyokushin, it was okay. An even cheerful moment. Look, he was probably beaten at the time, but he ended up being an equine pinball from about the 300-metre mark once he was passed. So I think the form stands up pretty good here. I think Oceana Blue in particular is the horse going forward. Even getting up and trip is the one to follow.
Overall, Dan, how did you see the track playing?
Yeah, look, you had horses winning up on speed, winning off the rail, coming from back in the field, drawing barrier one. So when you look at the stats for the day, they could win from anywhere. If you had to come up with any possible excuses that, you know, your punting techniques or your tipping techniques may have been not good enough at times. But considering the rail was out as far as it was, I think the expectation was you'd want to be up closer to the speed. In a few races, that was the case. But when we saw the two-year-old Atlantis Tycoon take out that race, there was no problem coming wide. If you were good enough, you could win.
Yeah, and we saw Dagula come from off the speed to take out the last. I thought it wasn't a disadvantage to be on speed, Brendan, but in general, with the rail 11, I thought it played pretty fairly. How did you see it?
I think it helps that they really rolled along in the majority of the races there yesterday. Some races with big fields, so the tempo was pretty strong, so it allowed horses to run on. For rail 11, I thought it played as good as it could play.
Visiting trainers from Sydney with horses coming down in fillies and mares in particular, race 4 and 5, they trifected both races, kicking off with winning verse, Mark Connors, Mike D combining in race 4.
At the 400 metres, led from Coco Rocks, and then came Gentility as winning verse led them for home about two lengths in front of Coco Rocks' Authentic Jewel. Then came Sweet Mary down the outside. Lempicka running on from Miss Belvany and Speed Lover, but winning verse, 150 metres to go. Well, she was a bit flighty before the race and she's put it onto the track. She's got a bolt in. Winning verse eased down. How easy. Won at three lengths, Authentic Jewel, Coco Rocks. Then
Ed. The Sydney girls were dominant in races 4 and 5. Dan, your take on the 4?
Yeah, I wonder if we're going to get a massive exodus from Sydney now for horses looking for drier tracks, because those three fillies have come down to avoid the wet, particularly the winner and the second horse. They were all at sea at their last couple of runs, but... they were probably lucky in a way, winning verse, the patience of the starter and the starting team, because she delayed the race for quite some time, didn't she? And to be truthful, I've seen horses taken out with much lesser time. But as it turned out for her, probably drawing wide helped, and she just cruised across and dominated. Now, if you didn't know the makeup of that field and just watched the race in isolation as a race without having a clue of the talent, you'd swear she'd be an Oakley Plate type of horse. She won with that sort of authority. She wasn't on the rail. She was 3 or 4 off the rail. When dug up into the straight, she found. There was a few horses got into traffic behind her, but at the finish, those horses in traffic were 5 or 6 lengths behind. She got further in front. That was an outstanding win. Clearly, she was underrated at $41, but... I don't think it's the last time we'll be seeing her at Caulfield. She made the pace. You can't really make excuses for anything else. Authentic Jewel solid and much better back on the dry. Coco Rocks is pretty consistent. Starley's been running well. Lempicka, a little bit unlucky. It could well have got a couple of lengths closer if it wasn't held up, and the same could be said for Throntari. Gentility can improve off the run, and I think we're drawing long bows to try to be forgiving for some of the others. Horses like Miss Bolveni, you know, she's clearly better than that. Even Speed Lover, I thought, was poor. Jezalenko first up, also a bit disappointing. But Look, that was an outstanding win. Makes you wonder how a horse, clearly with that sort of quality, can go around at $41. But A, she's a dry tracker, and that might be the start of her love affair with Caulfield.
We saw a couple of examples, I think, Brendan, yesterday of wider barriers out of the shoot start at Caulfield, not necessarily being a disadvantage. Michael D just able to keep winning verse in a nice rhythm, and we saw later on in the day Michael Walker aboard Jigsaw the same. So I think, you know, you keep reminding yourself, and quite often I forget what I'm trying to remind myself of, but, you know, if you've got horses that have got a bit of speed and they can build a momentum, the wider barrier draws from that shoot start at Caulfield are nowhere near the disadvantage you might think they are by just looking at the number of the barrier.
Most certainly, if you've got a horse that can come out and run 10.26 into a 10.68, I'm not too sure too many wide barriers are going to put you off. And I think that early part of the race, just using the dataracing.com we're putting up throughout the race, is what really took the other horses out of their comfort zone. They were at their peaks from a fair way out, just judging by the times that they ran, and the inability for some of them to quicken down at the end, who had reasonable enough runs close to the speed. Winning verse just ran them into the deck pretty much, and McD was happy to sit 3-4 horses off the fence, it looked, as well. So I thought that might be a pattern that might adapt throughout the day, but they went back to the fence later on. Authentic Jewel, just off the speed, I thought ran well. Coco Rocks rode the speed, stay near the inside. She was never going to worry the winner, but she's held her ground well. Starlia was held up for a bit, was one that was out the back, has made some ground. Lempicker didn't have the greatest deal of luck getting through the field, nor did Trontari, but they had plenty of work to do to try and get themselves into it, and they've run honest races at the end, but McD just dominated the race with speed.
Dominant performance there, and had a trial between runs, had the winkers going on. She was too strong. Brett Prebble had to bide his time from the inside draw aboard Celebros, just waiting for that run to come in the home straight in race 5.
This Pandora Blue had a slender margin on them at the 400 metres from Dance to Dubai, and Bel Ciel made a line of three. Selba Rosa behind those horses, given a slap with the whip, followed by Francine Forever Free. Little Stevie needs a run. Darolina Bell's running up behind them, and then Diamonds in the Sky. Pandora Blue at the 200 metres in front. Selba Rosa can't get a run. Dance to Dubai, Bel Ciel behind them. Pandora Blue in front, 50 to go from Selba Rosa, who's getting up on the inside now. Selba Rosa, and just one. I think Selba Rosa from Pandora Blue, and then came out wide.
Another trifecta to the Sydney Raiders, Chris Waller, Kristen Buchanan and Matty Smith preparing the trifecta, and he did have to be patient, as Matty Hill outlined in the call there, Brendan.
Certainly was. Was helped, though, with about 50 metres to go. Jai McNeil had the stick in the left hand. Give Pandora Blue just a couple of taps, and as soon as the stick came in the left hand, Pandora Blue went away from the fence, and Selba Rose was presented with that run back to the inside. If Pandora Blue holds that line in the last 50, who knows, maybe the winner doesn't get a crack. But she'd had a nice run behind. Pandora Blue needed the luck to come her way, and Brett Prebble was more than happy to oblige when the run came. Pandora Blue just got a little bit tired, drifting off the fence at the back end. Did a good job rolling on speed with a fair bit of, enough pressure there from Dance to Dubai and also Bel Salil out three deep. So they rolled along. There's a few horses here that didn't have the greatest of luck, we'll get to, but I thought Bel Salil stuck in okay, as did Dance to Dubai. Galgani just got a little bit further back than I was anticipating anyway. She was forced very wide on the track. She's run on well, Little Stevie. There's a tail there in the stewards report. No doubt you'll touch on Warren, but everywhere she went, she found backsides. Après Le Mur was okay late. Our Puni Princess had no luck at all. Everywhere she tried to go, she found trouble as well. So there might be a few coming out of this race that didn't have the clearest passage through. And Darolina Bell was another one. Worse than midfield the fence. Harry Coffey gave it a charm ride through. It was a very, very good losing ride to be charging at the line late after angling out. But Selba Rose got the luck. Pandora's Blue just got a little bit tired, but you would think there's going to be future winners out of this one.
Yeah, there's a decent paragraph about Little Stevie in the stewards report, as you referenced, Brendan. The stewards question Damien Thornton regarding his riding of the mare in the home straight. There was gaps, no gaps, and ultimately Damien was notified that they were concerned he didn't ride with full vigour. Purpose passing the 200 metre mark when shifting to the inside of Darolina Bell, but after taking all the circumstances into account, there was a severe reprimand issued to Damien to make sure that he is riding with full vigour. Dan, before we get to your take on the race, a few SMSs just regarding the performance of Marinello in the Queensland Derby. We'll certainly get to that riding performance, equine performance and the training performance to have the horse ready to win that Derby in Queensland. We'll get to that race and other feature races in Queensland in the next half hour. But for now, Dan, your take on this race.
Yeah, the again, as you'd pointed out before, the New South Wales fillies to the fore there. Selba Rose has been well performed, had that right run, and the run came clearly. Brett Preble mentioning that he was waiting for the other Sydney horse to just, you know, veer out a little bit, expecting that might happen, getting around that turn, and it did. So experience prevailed there. Quite a lot to like about the third horse. I thought she was pretty good in Darylina Bell going forward. Got the right run through unimpeded, where, as Brendan touched on, a couple of others like Little Stevie and Awapuri Princess, they're the sort of horses, it's not the first time they've been held up in races, they needed that clearer room. I tell you, the horse that I'm very forgiving of was Dance to Dubai, because coming up around the home turn, while she was in a position to be able to win the race, it just got a bit tight for her, and she got onto her wrong leg, a little bit off balance, and it took a while to balance up. But I like the fact that she lifted again late. So I would continue to follow Dance to Dubai. She was entitled, I thought, at the 200 to maybe drop out, but she didn't. She was lifting again late. And Galgani, for a horse that was so far out wide on the track, and I think short of its best distance, that was a really good performance. And the winner just had the right barrier draw, had the right run. The run came at the right time. And, look, she's pretty consistent filly anyway, so it's no surprise there. But I think Dance to Dubai, I'd want to be on next time with the same lineup.
Michael Walker's been working very hard after an injury forced layoff to get his weight down. Sydney Alderson also has been working equally as hard to try and get the best out of Jigsaw, who's a gelding. This preparation, they combined in race 6 at Caulfield yesterday.
Corner, Galinas and Whipcrack away as they reach the 300 metres. They're a length, Vici, Jigsaw, Sacred Palace. Further back in the field, Just Jake, and then came Blood Oath, Imperial Hilton. Can't get a run. Whipcrack away, Galinas together below the 200. Jigsaw coming out after them. Then Sacred Palace and Sig Positano, the outer. Whipcrack away just in front of Jigsaw, who's lunging. Jigsaw takes the lead. Jigsaw, it was pretty soft. And Walker with a city winner from Whipcrack away. Photo.
Well, even those of us on Sig Positano each way weren't that disappointed to see Jigsaw and Michael Walker and Cindy combine there, Dan.
No, not at all. It was terrific. I saw Michael walking in to Caulfield yesterday morning, and he had that bounce and that confidence about him. You couldn't help but miss the fact that, you know, he was looking forward to the day. And probably that performance at Cranbourne, the overall scheme of things, it wasn't super impressive. He got the job done, but the confidence, it's hard to replace that, isn't it? Particularly for a horse or a jockey for that matter. And I think that both of them gained so much confidence from that Cranbourne win. Jigsaw sat three wide up on pace yesterday, but he didn't overdo it. He's been gelded. There's been a few changes to him physically, but he probably settled as good as we've seen him settle. And he dug in too. He was right there for the fight late. And look, he's a pretty classy horse, and that came to the fore at the end there. But it was good to see him do it, because he's been a frustration for some of the connections. I thought to Whipcrack away was terrific ups on tempo, putting it to Galinas for the majority of the trip. Sacred Palace was good. It was good to see him turn around his latest performance. Just Jake sat wide without cover. I think there'll be a race for him in the near future. Sig Positano is just most consistent. Ocular was unlucky, yet eye-catching. Barbie's Fox, Imperial Hilton, all those horses were pretty good under the circumstances. But Jigsaw, now that he's got a head full of confidence, he was another that drew out wide. You drew that to our attention before with the Sydney filly that won, and Jigsaw had also drawn off the track. And, you know, it's probably not a bad place to be when you're looking at those sort of horses that can get a bit headstrong, and they had nothing significantly putting pressure to their outside. And, you know, it was a real big tick for Jigsaw in a lot of ways yesterday.
Rod from Strathmore raises a valid point via SMS. Brendan, is that the track raced fairly given the rail placement, but going forward the race times are probably more treated from a good track than a soft track, and a lot of discussion about ratings for tracks in the last week or so. And when you've got a soft 5, soft 6 and soft 7, I suppose that soft range extends to a track that's almost bordering on heavy. But when you've got a track yesterday that's probably soft 5, you know, approaching getting closer to the good range than the heavy range, then there's a great variation in soft tracks. And Rod points out that this was probably more a good, closer to good soft track rather than a close to heavy soft track.
Yeah, it's a conundrum that if you spend too long thinking about it, Warren, you'll need to go for a lie down trying to work out all these numbers and marry it up with times. But it did race on the firmer side of a soft five, probably heading towards a four there yesterday. So, yeah, take with that what you will. But if I start, I don't know when it'll end. So, but a good scenario for Jigsaw there yesterday, as Dan touched on, headstrong horse he can be. And he was just able to roll over under his own steam, and that helped him at the back end have plenty left in the tank. He was a really solid performance here yesterday. He's full of confidence, as is his jockey, who it's great to see him back riding winners, let alone riding winners in town after what could have been a traumatic episode. Well, it was traumatic, but it could have been a lot worse for Michael Walker, that fall at Pakenham. Whipcracker away, good job on the speed. We've seen it come from, seen him come from off the speed lately. He was up there right in the firing line and battled out well. Thought Sacred Palace was there with his chance yesterday, but maybe the 60 kilos didn't help him. Sig Positano smashing the door down to win a race. He probably just got shuffled back a length or two further than he wanted to, along with his stablemate there, Imperial Hilton, and just made that task that little bit harder. Gallinus was right there on the pace, battled away okay. Barbie's Fox, she was getting through the line nicely at the back end. Ocular didn't have a lot of room. Latino Blend, another one that was ducking and diving through, and one that was a massive price. Our little Ted, he could finished a lot closer. The Tasmanian horse, he was all over the backs of Imperial Hilton, Just Jake, Ocular, Sig Positano at the end, under a pretty tight grip. So another race that was a bunch finish, generally not what you want to be taking next time, but you know, there were a couple of bunch finishes yesterday where you'd suspect there's going to be winners out of them.
Race 7 was over 2,000 metres, a benchmark 100, and after the race, Gavin Bedgood paid credit to the perfect ride Lockie King produced aboard No Effort.
The corner, no effort, full bore at the 300 metres, two lengths, Don't Doubt Dory, Grand Slam to the middle of the track, and then Secret Blaze and Port Guillaume is running on two, but no effort below the 200 metres, still led by a length and three quarters, Don't Doubt Dory, and then Port Guillaume, but no effort clear, no effort from Don't Doubt Dory, and no effort's going to lead all of the way for Lockie King. No effort from Don't Doubt Dory, Port Guillaume, Queen.
Well, getting the run that I think a lot of us thought that Grand Slam might get on speed, a couple of SMSs via regarding the performance of Grand Slam. I'll read from the stewards report first of all, Brendan. Severely hampered at the start, overraced in the early stages. Linda Meach explained that after meeting that interference at the start, gelding settled further back, was not suited by the moderate tempo. Nothing from a post-race veterinary examination. And you know, there are some thoughts that maybe with that slow tempo, perhaps after hitting the interference, maybe roll forward early on Grand Slam, who copped a bump from Secret Blaze, but just trying to make the best of a bad situation is the way Linda Meach explained it to the stewards. But some SMSs questioning the performance of Grand Slam, who was a touch easy in the market. I lined him up as my best bet on the program, so was disappointed with that result, but couldn't be disappointed with the way No Effort performed, Brendan. She was just back to her best riding the speed.
Once Grand Slam went back after Pancho came out and gave him a good clobbering as soon as the gates opened, it was always going to be the race for No Effort. You know, as far out as the top of the hill, once Lockie King was able to control, there was no pressure from Grand Slam. The way she races around Caulfield, she just maintains her gallop and then builds and builds and builds, and by the time she gets to the top of the straight, she's got plenty to offer. We've seen her do it through the latter part of the through the early part and latter part of the spring last year, where she was really competitive in these sorts of races and maybe a little bit stronger as well, but she just got the peach of a ride. Don't Doubt Dory, back end of 2000, just sees him out. I think he's much better suited to 1600. He was on the back up there, but he just didn't look like he was ever going to trouble. No Effort, Port Guillaume, much better run from him, but you'd expect that from a one-time Caulfield Cup favourite, Melbourne Cup favourite, that if he dropped back to a race of this calibre and he's in a little bit of form, he'd be able to do something. Queen Takes King just got a little bit flat-footed when No Effort really revved around the turn, and I think she made some nice ground to the inside onto dry ground. Grand Slam's cards were marked when Linda decided to drop in and he started pulling. You knew he wasn't going to be able to finish off the race. Secret Plays just okay. Wichita Star, that was a tick over run for him, and there had to be something amiss with Pancho. That's not the way he goes about his business. Generally, he's in for the fight, but he weakened pretty sharply, and I thought there might be something pretty serious wrong with him the way he did drop out. But hopefully everything's okay with him to fight on for another day. But once Hockey King got control of that race, he was going to take some beating a long way from home.
Cardiac arrhythmia identified with Pancho post-race, so he will have to get a satisfactory veterinary report following some work over 1,000 metres with an ECG included in that before he can get back to the races again. So just an issue with the heart rate, what they described as cardiac arrhythmia with Pancho yesterday. Your thoughts here, Dan?
Yeah, look, no efforts run. Remember last start when she missed the kick about five lengths and then whizzed up on the turn, she sort of joined in, and although she weakened the last 100, it actually wasn't a bad run, and she's obviously best on speed. There was intent from a few horses to race up on speed, so when Grand Slam missed it, we know in the past, having listened to Kieran Mar, Dave Eustace, and some of the jockeys, he's not the easiest horse to ride. So the one thing they probably didn't really want to do was to rev him up. As it turned out, there was just that slacking of the speed for the second furlong, and then he started to pull. So I think missing the kick was in big time detrimental to his chances, because he's not necessarily as adaptable as they would like him to be. Whereas no effort is, and up on speed, and she was able to dictate. She loves Caulfield. I think that's a fifth win that she's had there. And it's good to see her back in form. She's terrific up on speed. She was gutsy. Don't Doubt Dory had a big pull in the weights. It was about 5 kilos and stuck on well. But if, think if it's about 1950, it's about the end of his tether as far as distance is concerned. Those little hurdles that Port Guillaume's been going over in some of those trials have helped a bit. Clearly, that was the best run we've seen from him. So good that, well, I don't know if he goes to a hurdle or another flat race just slightly beyond 2,000, but you wouldn't be afraid to put him in your tips anymore. And I'm forgiving of Grand Slam, but, you know, he's that race he did win at Caulfield and win easily. He just, it was almost like a trial, wasn't it? And he was able to go through his gears there. So he's a bit particular, and he can clearly bounce back next time, but he is becoming a little bit costly. And Pancho, Brett Preble very quickly identifying that there was something not quite right, and he didn't, you know, offer to fight the horse. He just let him drift out of the race. Clearly much better than that, which is a shame for Connections, because he'd been going really well, and hopefully he can bounce back through that cardiac arrhythmia. They usually do. Wichita Star, I think, is being set for a mile and a half, 2,500-metre race at Flemington the next couple of weeks, so we can be forgiving there. And, you know, good to see that the horse is a mere mortal, because he'd probably been the most improved horse anywhere in Victoria in the last 6 months.
Yeah, and some SMSs, just they were wary of Grand Slam. Congratulations to those who did identify it. Not the only people via the SMS, because he was easy in the market SP at $2.70. It wasn't his day yesterday. It was the day for no effort. Earlier in the doing the form for the meeting, the inside barrier was seen as a potential disadvantage for Sir Davey, and probably a great example of how Ethan Brown's evolved as a rider. He turned what could have been a potential negative into a positive for Sir Davey.
And Vizinari's right there. So the two favourites are 1-2 on the point of the corner. At the 350, it's Hosier and Vizinari. Then Sir David to the outside. Think and Fly tries to battle on from Somerset Maugham. It's hitting the front. Vizinari lets down with Sir Davey, the challenger. Vizinari joined by Sir Davey. Sir Davey runs by Vizinari, then Hosier. And Sir Davey's pulling clear for Ethan Brown to win it. Sir Davey from Vizinari, Hosier third.
Well, the colours that were arguably disappointing, things didn't go right in the previous for Cole Janice McKenna and the partners in Grand Slam. They quickly turned it around, Dan, in race eight with Sir Davey.
Yeah, they certainly did. This is a strong race. I think we all agree, you know, Hosey had set the benchmark. Vizinari looks really impressive. And Sir Davey was just getting the job done, really tradesmanlike. And look, he had barrier one, so he was able to get into a good position, but it was Ethan able to just hold that spot in a comfortable position rather than getting that length further back where he could have been relying on far more luck. Horse was travelling well enough, yet being, you know, pushed along a bit to find a bit of space. He needs that galloping room, and he got plenty of it in the home straight. The way 1, 2, and 3 cleared out from the others, you know, this is the sort of form that's going to hold up, you would think, going well forward of winter. Vizinari's a really nice horse. From the wide gate, he always had to work. It was always going to be a bit of a trick. He still stuck to his task really well. I think Hosier, that gap between runs, he can improve off that. Plenty of good runs back in the field for a similar type of benchmark race. But I think first, second and third are all horses that can progress further into their careers. Just Benjamin was certainly an eye catcher looking for more. Scottish Dancer was solid. Somerset Maugham can improve off that. Yeah, well done to Ethan Brown. It was a good ride. Sometimes, even from Barrier 1, you expect that they're going to get a good ride and be box seating, and he's not necessarily that horse. He probably had to settle a length and a half closer or one pair further forward, and Ethan was able to navigate that very early on to give him the right run to get into the clear, and I think he beat a couple of really good horses.
How do you see it, Brendan?
This was a terrific contest and a tremendous win, because he had to be taken right out of his comfort zone too, Dave. He shined on and be really bustled out of the gates. It's not what we've seen of him. We've seen of him get back, get clear air, work home, and he's had to sit on the back of two pretty talented horses that were in front of him. And when he hooked out at the top of the straight, he still remembered what it was all about, racing that close to the speed. I thought that was a tremendous win. Fiznari, excellent effort, three deep on a rolling speed. He was just left sitting for the winner late on in the piece, but super, super effort. Hoosier, there with his chance, sat in the death, but as soon as the pressure really came on, top of the lane, he was out. Just Benjamin has run a handy enough race. Scottish Dancer, okay. Somerset Maugham's return was good, and then a couple of horses back in the field that are much better and didn't have a great deal of luck. Duke of Plumpton and Tokarangi. Tokarangi got a mile back, never saw daylight, and Duke of Plumpton went through nearer the inside and found traffic. They can both improve next time out.
D'Aguilar doesn't go to the races very often, but more often than not, when he does, he wins. Paddy Payne was happy to give him a day out in the last yesterday.
First Accused at the 400 metres led Mr. Exclusive. Then Morrissey shoved along from Camborne. Maritana pulls Regret Falls. D'Aguilar to the middle of the track with a bit to do. First Accused in front from Mr. Exclusive as they reach the 200. First Accused about a half length. Mr. Exclusive chiselling into the lead. First Accused tired. Mr. Exclusive. And now D'Aguilar running on. Mr. Exclusive still can't get First Accused, but D'Aguilar's diving and got him. D'Aguilar's won from First Accused, Mr. Exclusive.
Terrific performance there late in the program. Brendan, before we get your thoughts on this race, Rod from Strathmore, again via SMS, thanks for your contribution, Rod. Looking at the previous race, won't see much better benchmarks 84s than that race. Vizinari looks an ideal Flemington horse for the winter championships. And yeah, I think we can see a few of the horses out of that previous race, Brendan, as you and Dan have outlined, going on to better races. What was your take on the last?
A bit of relief in the end with D'Aguilar being able to do enough late. Three wide, worse than midfield, maybe a fraction further back than Billy may have anticipated. And it looked like he wasn't getting there on the turn, but as soon as he let down, he just proved that he's a really good horse that must have a truckload of issues to go through. But when he's right and ready, he's very hard to beat. First Accused, very good on speed, really brave, just missed. Mr. Exclusive went to him on two or three occasions and he fought him off every time to just be run down. Probably a little unfair that he had to be the loser in the end there. First Accused, Paul's Regret didn't have a lot of luck. She made a little bit more ground, a little bit more of a confidence boosting run for her. She's not going to be far away whenever she steps out next. Zeus was good from the back. Camborne was the money horse. He had the right run there on the speed, had a peach of a run for Alana Kelly, but when it was time to go he wasn't able to finish off, and Quay was a little bit disappointing. But Billy Egan was patient, waited till D'Aguilar balanced up, let him rip, and thankfully for some of us, he was able to get home over the top.
Note from the stewards report, Dan, regarding Campbell and Alana Kelly reporting that Gelding may appreciate tracks with a bit more give than yesterday. As Brendan outlined, he was on the speed and probably didn't finish off the race as much as or those that had supported him in the market would have expected. How did you see the last?
Yeah, well, with Camborne, last time it was too wet. This time, what was it, too firm? He's becoming the Goldilocks horse, isn't he? It's just not quite right at the moment, but that's two poor runs in a row. I'm not sure I'd put my faith in him until I see something better next start. Well, what do you say? He must be some spectacular sort of horse, D'Aguilar, to win. Clearly, he's had issues throughout his career. In a couple of months' time, he'll be seven. When he turns seven, he would have had virtually one start per every year of his life, because he's had, since Paddy Payne's had him, he's had 10 trials and 5 starts spread out over a few years. He had 6 trials leading into yesterday. And I guess for some of us still wondering whether or not, you know, he would be on song. He's a very good horse. I hope he can stand up to a preparation. I would envisage that he might head towards a winter championship. He looks that ideal type of horse, particularly for this time of the year. And you can imagine the Flemington track would suit him ideally. That was a fantastic win, great training performance. A lot of heartache, obviously, over the years involved with him. But he's a good horse, clearly. First Accused, given every chance in front, was a good run. Mr. Exclusive was terrific first up. He doesn't win out of turn, but by golly, he can run some good races in decent company. Paul's Regret, look, I heard you say yesterday, Warren, she's the sort of horse that looks for a bit of trouble. And you know what? I reckon you're right. She was good again, but we keep finding excuses for her being held up. I think she runs into the pockets and the dead ends. She was good, and there might be another win for her, and she'll get the option, perhaps, of going back to her own sex. Zoist, when they give away those sorts of starts, always makes it hard. Falls, good effort. Going forward, can step up and trip. And I tell you, there's a horse that's going really well. They'll just say a little prayer to the man upstairs to get a better barrier draw. But I reckon Morrissey's going well enough. If you see him draw 1-6 somewhere, he might be worth having an each-way bet on. But the winner, Diagola, it's easy to say there could be better wins in store. But if you can just stand up for a prep with more than two starts, we might even see better again. So hopefully he can. Great effort.
Competitive days racing at Caulfield. T.O. Nugent, Michael Walker among the highlights of a day there. Time for a break on RSN 927. It's 9 to 10. Turn our attention to the Group 1 meeting at Eagle Farm after this break.
Brought to you by Tabs The Lock. Activate to get Tabs' best starting price guaranteed. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Gambler's Help 1-800-858-858.
Apache Chase the leader, second is Pal Whaley. Rothfire's working home, September run the inside. Scalapini's out deep on the track and back behind those is Brooklyn Hustle. It's Apache Chase still with the lead. The outside is Pal Whaley, the inside September run. Apache Chase from September run, Pal Whaley lifting late as Rothfire. 11-11 flashing home as well. Apache Chase just in front near the line. He gets in, I think Apache Chase may be in a photo. Lunging though was 11-11.
Less than half a length with the first four across the line, Brendan. And before we get to your take on Apache Chase, Haribas chimed in via the SMS and agreeing with Dan. He thinks a lovely winter championship style of horse for Diagola for the Paddy Payne stable if he can hold him together. What did you make of the Group 1 Kingsford Smith, Brendan?
Big effort on speed from Apache Chase. He was there to be beaten and just kept sticking his head out. Palili right there on speed, had his chance, just missed. I thought 11-11's last 100 metres was enormous. Rothfire there with chances. September run couldn't quicken when the runs came. And on trivia, got back. Probably would have liked to get out a little bit sooner than what she did. By the time she sort of got clear air, she was just in a little buffet there at the top of the straight. The race had passed her by. But big, big effort from Apache Chase right on the speed.
What about you, Dan?
Well, you got to appreciate a horse that can make his own luck, particularly the long straight at like Eagle Farm. If you were on Apache Chase yesterday, you would just been wishing, where's the post? Where's the post? Come up post. But he seems to find it. A head scratcher as to how he got beaten at Rockhampton. But still, he's got a love affair, as you pointed out. He's the reverse of a Chief De Beers, it seems. Eight of his nine wins have been at Eagle Farm. The only win that wasn't there was at Toowoomba. But look, similarly, he had a win over, it was Ayrton, wasn't it, last year in the lead-up to a Stradbroke. He finished unplaced there, but a horse that can make his own luck, gets himself out of trouble, and he's just a good horse, a very popular one, and he definitely comes into calculations for the Stradbroke in a couple of weeks' time. Paul Leary, he's very honest, isn't he? And 11-11, you know, is terrific again. By this stage of the day, they were racing on a good three, which is, I think I was looking at track ratings come Friday, and I think it was still listed as a soft six. It's quite extraordinary, isn't it, that they end up on a good three. But the same group of horses, I think, we'll see progress towards the Stradbroke. Tell you, of all of those horses, a lot of them, we know how good they are, but I was really pleased to see Rothfire run so well, and I thought his run was excellent, and particularly to be able to just settle well enough and to be strong through the line. So I reckon he could win a race this winter.
Early market for the Stradbroke. This is all-in market with Tab Fixed Odds currently has Apache Chase and Ayrton, who's not currently nominated, at $8, and Trevier at $9, 11-11 at $11, Paulili 13, and Alligator Blood, who we'll talk about another race shortly before we sign off, hit the line strongly. He's currently a $15 chance. A lot of the anchors today for the multis was Zaki in the Doomben Cup.
Passing the 450, and Polly Gray quickly tackled here by Zaki on the outside has taken over, and further back in the field there too, making ground as Wetor the inside, and then we've got Yonkers and working home as Maximal. It's Zaki just with the lead. Wetor the inside's out after Zaki. Wetor's driven through and taken the lead away from Zaki. Late is Maximal, but Wetor's in front from Maximal, flashing home too late. Wetor in a boil over. Wetor's one from Maximal, not sure third.
Dan, just reading from the stewards' report regarding Zaki, James McDonald commented that Gelding travelled well, strongly into the straight. He failed to quicken and was beaten on his merits. A post-race veterinary examination revealed no significant findings, but they did take a swab sample. How did you see the Doomben Cup run at Eagle Farm?
Yeah, I think there was an expectation the way that Zaki travelled up until the, at least to the 200 metres, that his class was going to get him through and get the job done. If you didn't know the names of those horses and just watched the race in isolation, you'd probably come up with the conclusion that he just didn't run the 2100 metres. So it's not something I'd thought of previously, but he was weak over the last 100 in particular. So one of two, maybe he's not that strong at the end of that sort of distance, or there is some underlying problem that we might hear about. What a red letter day for the Snowdens there. Cueto, look, lovely run, strong at the end of that trip, which was important. Good to see that John O'Shea's finally been able to work out Maximal, and he found the line. And Great House, I'd imagine, would head to the Brisbane Cup. He might be something to bet on there, unless some of those that were ahead of him yesterday can go there as well.
Jeff, via the SMS, Brendan has indicated that his view, Eagle Farm seemed to favour runners on the fence or one out. What did your take on the way Eagle Farm played yesterday?
I thought it played well enough. If you've got good horses running reasonable enough time or on a good track, they're hard to run down. We see that through the Carnival at Flemington. When you get the good horses up on the speed, running along, they're hard to get. And that proved in Apache Chase's race and to some extent throughout the car. But this was a shock for mine. Kieran McAvoy just took the opportunity to go back to the inside. He finished better. Hard to find an excuse for Zaki. The chosen one was good. Kokoracha got into a stack of trouble late. He was probably lucky not to to fall at different stages there. Maximal was good. Not sure what Ryan Maloney was trying with Estefini. I know he was over racing, but I don't think Zaki was going to hand up the death at any stage there. He might be one for the forgive file, but yep, no excuses for Zaki. And Kieran McAvoy took the short way home, which can be the fastest way.
What about the difference in the race being 2100 metres at Eagle Farm as opposed to 2000 metres at Doomben? Are we seeing that, you know, perhaps the 2,000 metres may be the top end of Zaki's distance range, Brendan?
You can go clutching for straws if you would like. Doomben, Eagle Farm, he's touted as the best horse in the country. He was the Cox Plate favourite. He had his chance there yesterday. Eagle Farm, Doomben, Flemington, wherever you ran that over 2,100 metres, he had his chance.
Roger James was trying to win a derby in Queensland, and Leith Innes announced his retirement following the win at Pinarello.
Turn and Southern Stockers making ground. Villa Dam and Ting Tong is down the outside, but Pinarello has taken over in the derby. Making ground coming through is Paternal and Southern Stock on the outside. Dark Destroyer is running home as well, and also Ting Tong on the outside. Pinarello and also Paternal. Pinarello, Paternal, Southern Stock and Kibosh is running home late. The inside here, Pinarello, Paternal. Pinarello, Paternal. They hit the line in the derby, and Pinarello. Pinarello's won the derby from Paternal.
Amazing ride from a wide barrier, and it was enough for Leith Innes to do a mic drop and leave. He was reprimanded for using the whip seven occasions prior to the 100-metre mark, Brendan, and he took it so poorly he announced his retirement.
What a ride to go out on. That was outstanding. To get a spot from, well, 20 came in a couple with scratching, 17, to get one off the fence before they had got to the winning post, to judge the speed at the 1,000 to say this isn't what we need and roll three deep. That'll be a replay. You just might find one of those TVs you can have a constant loop on it and just put it on in the house somewhere, and every time he feels a little bit down, go and have a look at the way he bowed out. That was some sort of ride there yesterday. Paternal had a lovely run behind the speed, just missed. I thought Kibosh ran on well. Dak Destroyer probably had his chance back on the inside. Tutu Kaka was a little bit disappointing for mine, even though he did have a big prize next to his name. Southern Rock followed the winner, just peaked out with about 100 to go. But this will be a ride that Leith Innes, no wonder he'll retire, more than happy to hang his hat on that one.
And a terrific training performance for Roger James and Robert Wellwood. Missed the run in the rough habit going into the Derby. So Dan probably just had to compensate with some extra work, but this horse is building a nice record now, 4 from 7, and good to see the Lindsay colours, the Cambridge Stud colours to the fore following the loss of Tavistock, something for them to race on.
Yeah, look, he's an emerging stay. There's no doubt about that. Terrific ride, but the horse was really strong on the line. I just got the feeling, even though it was only a head margin, that the second horse was going to struggle to get past him, even if it was another furlong. The first six horses put a big gap on the others. There was quite a division. It was a fantastic ride, and if you could write your exit when you're going to retire in any profession, you couldn't leave on a better note than that. That was a gem of a ride from Leith Innes.
And I don't think Hughie Bowman could have done any more aboard Paternal running second. Couple of other highlights on the card, guys, before we get your runs of the day and horses to follow. What a resilient filly Barb Raider's been up there now, hopefully backing up in the Oaks next week, winning with Craig Williams aboard early in the rescheduled Roses. And Splendiferous, she's another resilient horse. She's been to Adelaide, as has Barb Raider, and now up to Queensland, and a tough win, Brendan, for both Barb Raider and Splendiferous yesterday.
Yeah, Barb Raider, we've seen her be tough before. She was exactly that there yesterday. Splendiferous, Leith Innes might have watched this ride because Timmy Clark was very, very similar from a wide draw, getting across one off, taking off at the 1200, just had enough in hand. But, yeah, both very good wins, and Barb Raider, she was good, but liked the run also of Belle Savoie, Nick Ryan's filly. I thought she's tracking along really nicely.
In the BRC sprint, want both your thoughts on the performances there. Soxagon held on for a narrow win, and Alligator Blood with a wide run there, running a narrow second. Start with you, Dan. Your quick thoughts on race 7, the BRC sprint.
Yeah, look, they were typical of some of those sprint races. There's not a lot between them. You could throw a blanket over, maybe a handkerchief. They finished so close together. But the one positive out of that was to see Alligator Blood back. It's only a half a stride, isn't it? And he probably wins the race. And he can just add so much to that open class, the depth that they've got at the moment. And there is plenty of it. So Soxagon, he's a terrific horse up north, isn't he? But Alligator Blood was the one that I think we're all pleased to come through. When Emerald Kingdom didn't figure, you wondered how Apache Chase might end up, but Emerald Kingdom finished down the track, and he was the one that beat Apache Chase at Rockhampton.
Brendan?
Yeah, great to see Alligator Blood back. Lovely ride from Brad Stewart on Soxagon. Travelled strongly throughout. Just had to wait for the gap to open. At once it did, he responded really well. Nick Inova probably had every chance there on the back of the speed. Hollyfield got through nicely when the gaps opened. One ride on their heels that didn't have a great deal of luck. Tycooners might be one to follow for next time. When the gaps were opening, there wasn't too many opening for Tycooners.
Gone a little bit past 10 o'clock. Time for the boys' runs of the day. Horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
Brendan, we'll start with you before you take over with Sunday Central.
Run of the day, Dead Heat, Pinarello, Dagula, horse to follow for Vines Imperial Hilton. He didn't have a great deal of luck there yesterday. If he can find some wide open spaces, maybe at Flemington, maybe at Sandown Hillside in a couple of weeks, he's going to be pretty hard to beat.
In the absence of Dino, have you got anything that you've kept an eye on that's racing around Victoria this afternoon? Ballarat and Mildura, the venues?
We've been through the form at Ballarat, one coming off a run at Warrnambool. Dawn County, I think, going to be pretty hard to beat, and one at Value. Maybe Henry the Lion might be able to bounce off his Warrnambool victory, but Harry White's going to join me in about 5 or 6 minutes, and we'll run through the program at Sportsbet Ballarat today.
Looking forward to the next couple of hours with Sunday Central. Thanks for your help with Correct Weight this morning. Brendan, Dan Malecki, how do you wrap up yesterday?
Yeah, I think Diagula is the run of the day, but I'm going to give the silver medal to Atlanta's Tycoon. I was most impressed with his debut performance. And I think Oceana Blue, really progressive filly. She's going to get better up and trip, and she's my horse to follow.
Thanks for your help, Dan. I think we're going to have the pleasure of your company on Correct Weight for a couple of weeks. I'm taking a couple of weeks off over the next few weekends, and I think you'll be part of the panel for the next couple of weeks.
Well, it's the first I've heard about it, but that's good. I enjoy it.
Nothing like some on-air rostering.
Yeah, and the very early starts on a Sunday, I enjoy them. But when you first see me at 6:30, you know what it's like, Warren? It's very testing on a Sunday morning. But look, seriously, I thoroughly enjoy it. Thank you very much. It's great to be a part of, and I really enjoy working with you guys.
Thanks for your help this morning. I'm going to make Wetall my run of the day. I thought it was a terrific win in the Dooman Cup. And Mr. Exclusive, who've covered ground in the last at Caulfield, he's my horse to follow. Thanks for joining us for Correct Weight, following this sports update with Andrew Hughes.